Welcome to the ADEP Club, a podcast about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of R that cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, however, we discuss how we're dealing with the global coronavirus pandemic. So, be warned. And finally, three, most importantly, the new Disney ride Rise of the Resistance features special new contoured screens to make sure that all the videos it shows throughout the ride look like they are happening in real life. With that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse. We have snacks. Welcome to the ADEP Club. My name is Andrew Whipple.
I'm Alex Wade.
And, well,
I'm gonna die.
This is an interesting time to be alive. So I guess what I've noticed on a lot of other podcasts is, especially if they're relatively topical podcasts, is them starting to shift to, hey, you may have noticed the audio quality is a little bit worse because we're recording from home over Skype or over Zoom or whatever. And that's one of those rare moments where we get to be ahead of the curve and say, yeah, our audio quality was always bad, and we were always recording in different states from each other.
Yeah, because we're professionals. You know, this
exactly
is how we make our livelihood. So that's why we have this insanely cool rig set up at both of our homes.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm in a private sound booth right now. That's how it's done. So professionals do it.
Yep. Only the best for our single-digit number of listeners. Made possible by listeners like you. So I don't know. No rules, just right. We're in a fucking global coronavirus pandemic. Yeah. So this week's question is, how you doing?
Yeah.
How you doing, Alex Wade?
I'm doing all right. Audience, just to be clear, this is not a joke. That is the actual question. We wanted to do something related to like the quarantine in general. And, you know, we were just thinking like, how are you doing? Yeah.
How you doing? And next month, then we'll do our long requested live commentary of Steven Soderbergh's 2011 movie Contagion. So be ready for months and months of coronavirus induced stir crazy induced podcastery.
It's gonna be great. I'm excited for it. Okay, got nothing else to do.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, this is good because this is gonna kill up like whatever 3-4 hours of time editing on top of however long it takes to record. So thank you for giving me that service to not just watch more YouTube videos and annoy my cat. But yeah, for real.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Honestly, better than I thought I would be. Working from home, I had never really liked working from home before. But now that everyone's doing it, I don't feel as guilty about doing it. And like, you know, that aspect of it, of just like my work and job in general has been fine, has been great. Even like, honestly, I've been more productive than when I go into work.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely true for sure.
What made you feel guilty about working from home in the before times?
I would say a mix of like, it would be difficult to get people to respond in the first place to certain things. So like I would be blocked for a while and I couldn't really do anything. And like maybe I should be pushing harder to like get people to unblock me or something like that. Or sometimes I just like wouldn't be working because like I have no time. I'm blocked and like no one's responding to me. So I'm just going to sit at home doing nothing right now for a while because fuck all you guys for not responding to my Slack message I sent 2 hours ago. But now people respond quickly because they have to.
Is everyone in your office New York based?
There was one person who was in Canada.
Okay.
And then we also have an India team. So one person was already always working from home, but like she was like the only one. So.
Yeah, work's been interesting. Similarly, we've been all remote for the last week. By the way, we're recording this on March 22nd, so if things get precipitously worse in between when we record this and when you're listening to it, then that is why. We've been remote for the last week. Or strongly encouraged to be remote for the last week. I think at least the Chicago office is officially closed as of this weekend. I'm not sure. I'd imagine the same for our Bay Area offices. But yeah, we already were most people worked out of offices, but we were split among, at least in the US, Chicago, Seattle, and the Bay Area, plus some folks in London and Dublin and some folks in India and some folks in Berlin. Plus like half of my development team that I work with is contractors based out of Romania. So it's been interesting, same here, of like, I also hate working from home. For me, mostly just because I'm not as productive as I am when I'm around other people or in a like distinct office area.
Sure.
But it has been interesting that like, everyone's working from home. And what I've noticed is actually, it's like my team and my team has been doing daily or every other day, like, all right, we're just gonna take 15-30 minutes, just like everyone can hang out, we can talk about work if you want, we can talk about other stuff, we can do whatever. And someone was making the point out of our Seattle office that like, oh, this is actually more time that I've spent just hanging out with like the Chicago-based people than beforehand. So it's been an interesting mix. I do think I will lose my mind having to work remote, or rather it has confirmed to me that I do not want to work exclusively remotely, least for the foreseeable future. I definitely am missing being able to go into an office and interact with people or have that clean break between like the work happens here, the not work happens not here. But I mean, better than getting sick or getting other people sick though. So meh.
Yeah, I feel kind of the opposite now. I'm like starting to enjoy work from home a lot more. And like, I don't want to be 100% remote, but
yeah,
when I come back into work, I want to like push for us being more remote just in general.
Interesting.
Cause like we've clearly been able to handle it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's something that I really hope actually happens in terms of like changing the workplaces in general of, like I hope this global pandemic actually has an effect on this aspect of like the work culture and like changing the necessity of coming into the office.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to think through, like what are the both positive and negative externalities that come about, especially if this is something that like lasts for a couple months, if we're like still in a mostly locked down state in the US for until like May or June, then, do we see more of a move towards, accepting work from home? And my office was already pretty, or at least in the product and engineering side, which is where I work from, for anyone that doesn't actually know me and know what my real job is that I'm not going to say on air, because hashtag not representative of my employer, blah, blah, blah. But the product and engineering side was always pretty flexible on work from home. Like I did it less than most of the rest of my team because I frankly don't like doing it. There are plenty of people that like would work from home once a week or twice a week, or hey, for this week, I, got a new puppy. That's that one of my coworkers actually like got a new puppy like 2-3 weeks ago. And so was like doing half days from home and then half days from the office.
Oh.
Before the global coronavirus pandemic, or rather before it became well understood as this is going to drastically change the way that the rest of our lives work for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I don't know. That's work. I feel like is one aspect of this whole coronavirus that's going down. I think another big aspect of it is just being alone and lonely in general. Like,
yeah.
I am in my apartment like alone all day. My roommate, he left to go upstate in New York. I live in New York, by the way, to go with his family because that would be easier for him. So like I'm here alone for 24 hours a day, only going out for like runs or grocery store runs or whatever. And that's something that I don't know. It's kind of harder to tell how that's been affecting me, like how much. Am I more bored than usual? Do I feel like, well, I don't know. How would you talk to any of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because that definitely is, I mean, same boat. I don't actually have a roommate other than my cat, who is, I think, napping. But I live in Chicago. And the same thing. I'm like, yep, I'm mostly inside. I've gone out. I do live pretty close to the lakefront in Chicago. So there's a couple days where I've gone for like longer walks around across by the lake, which is nice. And same thing, a bunch of grocery stores are nearby. So, okay, I can go grab more food if I need to. I have been noticed over the last couple days. I don't think it's the coronavirus. But I also will clearly not ever be able to get it tested because it's like I have the, you know, a bit of a sore throat and a little bit achy, but it's mild. I don't have a fever. I don't have any cough. I don't have like shortness of breath or any of the other sort of major symptoms. So I don't know. We'll see. But I've sort of taken the approach of like, okay, I'm going to try to like, especially now that I have a well-stocked kitchen, of like, okay, I'll stay in for now and see until... out of an abundance of caution, let's stay inside until as much as possible until anything remotely COVID-19-y gets out of the system. But it's what's been interesting to me, and I think this will change a lot in maybe a week or two. So far, what I've noticed is that, especially on the weekend, you know, I still love to hang out with friends and things like that, but it's not uncommon or unreasonable for there to be a weekend where mostly I stay in my apartment. Maybe I go see a show or see a movie or like, you know, go to some shops, something like that. But like where I don't actually spend much time with people is not, you know, that's not an unreasonable weekend for me. So far, especially since my dad was in town actually just last weekend, going through this weekend has not been, it hasn't felt too different than a, you know, reasonable half of any of my other weekends.
Yeah.
I think once we get to like, you know, multiple weekends of being inside the entire time, coupled with multiple weeks of working from home, like during the weekday has felt a lot more strange because I haven't been going into the office or anything like that. I think that's the point where it'll like feel noticeably different once we get like 3 weeks into this.
Yeah.
That's when I think I'm going to like, that's when I'm going to snap to maybe be pessimistic about it.
For me, I definitely get out, I guess, a little bit more than you do. And also like this past weekend, I had two separate birthday parties that I was going to be going to. One got canceled and the other was like severely toned down, and like I'd end up not going to that one either. Even though there are only like three or four people there, so it wouldn't have been like, I don't know, ethically immoral to get in a small gathering of people, but I still just didn't go. And I don't know, that's it's weird because like I'm always like setting expectations and like gearing up to do something, and it's not like, oh, I have to like fight to bring myself to a place to get ready for it. I just like get myself in like the mindset of like, I'm going to go to two parties this weekend, so it's going to be a you know, intense weekend relatively. And then bam, like that, starting on Sunday, the world started like going to hell in a handbasket, and it was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not leaving my apartment ever again. So there's a sense of like forced social ability that I feel like I definitely need to start, you know, doing more. So if any of my friends are listening to this and want to give me a call, I would greatly appreciate it.
Co-sign to that. Anyone wants to give me a call? Anyone wants to start up like a limited time coronavirus induced podcast? Hell yeah! I got Zencast up and running. If anyone finally wants to do I've been wanting to do a rewatch Veronica Mars podcast. So if anyone wants to do that, hit me up. It's interesting that another thing I've sort of noticed along those lines is that I always wonder what would my life in Chicago be like if I was like 10 years younger and there was less like internetiness around, because I think I've, especially in comparison to like talking to my parents or people like who, you know, were, you know, moved to a new city after graduation, you know, back in the day, I have much more contact with friends from previous walks of life, from high school, cough, cough, the A-Dub Club. I guess I shouldn't say cough, cough, the A-Dub Club, because we're in a global coronavirus pandemic. the but people from high school, people from college, people that I've just met on the internet, I think even in comparison to some of my other friends, I have more like internet-based friends who are primary mode of communication is through the internet anyway. And I've always sort of wondered, like, does that if I didn't have that support system to rely back on, would that push me into being more sociable and being more like going out and doing stuff in Chicago with like real life people? The whole like division between is the internet real life or not, blah, blah, blah,
sure,
whatever. Tossing that aside for now. And then the plus side of that, though, is that like, yeah, there are friends who I've like met in person like twice, but I still like keep in fairly close contact with over the years, through your Facebook messengers, your Twitters, your Skypes and the like. So it's been nice to be able to rely back on that during the now times. And I think maybe it might even be that like, that's part of why I don't go out and do as much, or I wonder if that's part of why I don't go out and do as much.
Yeah.
Back when I was able to, because I've sort of had that, able to get some feeling of socialization through those other channels. And I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like you're not forced to go out and make new friends necessarily. And like,
yeah,
like I know for me coming to the new city, I like had some friends who I was here, and like that's still who my main like group of friends are. And like, yeah, of course I've made new friends for living here in the city, but I don't know, it's just different. And it's like those sort of friends seem more like happenstance, like I happen to become friends with them, as opposed to like I'm trying to make new friends of some kind. And I don't know.
Oh god, that's another thing. Twitter and Instagram is not, it's like the lifeline to interact with a lot of people, but it also fucking sucks to be on Twitter during a global coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, that's why I'm not.
Not a good place. I'm not on Facebook. I mean, I'm on Facebook, but I don't use Facebook ever. And sure. I imagine Facebook is its own particular brand of hell that's slightly different from the Twitter brand of hell. But like, man, I get why people are doing it. And I appreciate the impulse, especially given that it is coming from, I think, primarily a like, we want to make sure that people don't fucking die perspective. However, I cannot handle any more like armchair epidemiologists who like all of a sudden learned what flatten the curve means and are like tweeting up a giant storm about like all this stuff that clearly they did not know anything about a week ago. And again, I respect it, and I respect the impulse and I understand it. And also, hey, we're all dealing with the fact that a pandemic is going on and we're not allowed to leave our houses. So like, yeah, really whatever you can do to de-stress, if that includes like screaming on the internet about something that you now get to pretend that you know a lot about. I mean, there are more destructive ways, I guess, to handle the chaos that is life in March of 2020.
Something that I started with is I have a Slack channel for my a school that I went to for 3 months called, I don't know if I should mention what it is, actually. I'm not going to. Never mind.
Sure, sure.
But a web development bootcamp that I went to for a while. I'm very active in the Slack channel there, and they have all sorts of different channels there. But there are sometimes arguments that go on about, like, oh, people are making such a big deal out of this that it needs to be, like, not to be that bad. And there's a combination of a lot of things of, like, people sometimes are like, sometimes rightfully and sometimes too much shitting on that person and being like, you're a piece of shit for what you're doing right now. And it's like,
yeah,
everyone's just a bit on edge. And
yeah,
I get how this person is spreading misinformation willfully or unwillfully, but it's been a very aggressive time on social media.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, now that I'm thinking about it, it reminds me a little bit of what it was like to be on the internet immediately after Donald Trump won, where just like everyone is clearly super fucking stressed 27 hours a day. It's like everyone is totally on edge. And then what happens when everyone is on edge, and particularly on like a place like Twitter or Facebook, where everyone is on edge in a social media bubble that it is designed to amplify the most extreme things, is that like everyone screams at each other, everyone's mad, everyone is everyone's enemy, and it's a mess. And it's interesting that what I've noticed in myself both then and now is that I definitely take a like pull back approach when I'm on edge and stressed out like that. It's like my move is to, I'm going to tweet a lot less than I did before. And like, if anything, sort of insulate and bottle up my own stress rather than turn that into, I'm going to go yell at a bunch of people. I'm not necessarily saying that's the healthier approach to it, because it definitely comes with its own, you know, its own problems along with it. But yeah, it's, man, it's a stressful time. It's a stressful time.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I don't know. There's also, it's something that I've seen a lot online, is two different things that are both the opposite of each other, that are,
okay.
There's one thing that's like, it's okay if you're like being, you know, lazy, and if you're not, doing so hard, like it's okay to like be in that. And then there's the exact opposite of that. That's like, now's your chance to work so hard on yourself and to make something and to,
I know,
establish these habits and to work out all the time and eat better and because you have so much free time now. So now's the time to do it. And it's a very disorientating, I'd never get that word. Disorienting.
Yes. Disorienting.
I always say disorientating, disorienting. Cause it's having both of these come at you, being like, it's okay to fail, but also try harder it's frustrating. Cause like I personally am like taking that in a lot of different ways. Like I've been working out a lot every day. I run like at least 3 miles a day. That's been exciting until like today, cause it's almost freezing.
But make those gains.
Hell yeah. And like, that's been great. But like, food wise, like I'm still eating out all the time and don't know how to cook. And like, I've been cooking a teeny bit, but like not as much as I should be. And yeah,
exact opposite for me. Cause I never really worked out in the before times either. But like, our office was huge, and so I would walk a ton throughout the rest of the day. I mostly worked at a standing desk, and like usually at least once a week I would walk to work, which was like 3-4 miles. And then like, I did a lot of just being out and moving, not necessarily like, you know, working out per se. But then what I've noticed now is that like, I don't do that because I'm mostly staying indoors. And since I started feeling a little bit sickish, I was like, okay, I even like going for like an hour long walk along the lakefront, I kind of want to put a pause on that for now. But in contrast, I'm actually cooking a lot better than I was before. Like, I would cook a real meal on the weekends and maybe a couple weeknights, but I would always just like get lunch from at work. But now I'm like, no, I'm actually, partially also to keep myself sane, because I like cooking a lot, that like, okay, I'm really stressed out, I'm going to for real take a half hour at lunch to like make a real meal, or I'm going to clock off at 5, and well, I'm not hungry yet, but I don't want to just go watch Netflix, so I guess I'll start cooking so that it'll be ready by 6 or what have you.
Yeah.
So I'm eating a lot better than I think I was a week or two ago, but not actually being at all physically active. My Apple Watch is yelling at me for how shittily I've been doing on the activity front.
Yeah, but and then that's fantastic for like you're doing something and you are improving in some ways, right? And during this quarantine, and then
yeah,
there are other ways like so for me, art. Like, I want to make more art during this time, and
yeah,
I have a lot of ideas that I've been having, but like I just haven't done them, and it's like this mix of like me feeling shitty for not have done them, but also me trying to be like, oh no, don't worry about it. Like, you shouldn't be crapping on yourself or shaming yourself for not getting things done. Like, this is a tough time. And it's like, okay, well, it's kind of this, I don't know, frustrating force.
Yeah. I'm in the exact same boat. Over the last like 6 months, I've been telling myself that I want to like do more creative stuff. And, you know, I want to write more. I have like multiple ideas for scripts to write. I want to do more music stuff. I've even tried to like set up, you can't see because this is a podcast, but like set up to make sure there's like, okay, a keyboard is right by this computer and there's like a guitar right by this computer to try and force it and make it easier to do creative stuff. And even before I was like, I guess I would always lean on the fact that like, oh, I don't have enough time, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, now same thing. Like I'm not really doing much of anything. I think this is my, you know, half baked, half, dime store psychologist opinion of myself, that I think it's because like I'm super fucking stressed all the time. And when you're really stressed, it's hard to like focus enough to actually do creative stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm also finding that with work, it's like, I'm definitely less productive this week than I was last week, not just from working at home, but like, I don't know. It's stressful. Especially, I'm not going to say where I work or, and again, you know, voice of the employer and stuff like that. But let me just say it is at a company that is very hard hit by the fact that we explicitly decide like as a medical necessity, we had to put a pause on basically the entire local business economy, for the next month or so. Is not a great place. It does not bode well for the particular business model of the company I work at. So yeah, I found that like, I am not able to focus as much as I was, say, a week ago, and am mostly doing like, you know, the productive days are the days where it's a lot of meetings, or the days where it's like, okay, I can at least do some like data analysis or something like that. That's not mindless, but a little more like I can narrowly focus in on one thing and not have to think as broadly or as creatively as I would for some other aspects of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are you doing to keep yourself sane beyond exercising and podcasting?
Not much, actually, and it hasn't. So I've been going downhill, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of video games and Netflix.
Ooh, what are you watching? What's your pandemic watch list?
Oh God. Well, see, I had already started watching West Wing. I was rewatching the West Wing. So
nice.
I almost finished with that, which has been a trip, and then I just started up Sherlock.
Mm.
Yeah.
Had you seen it before?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I ever watched the last couple seasons or last season.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I need to, even when it comes to like digesting new content, I feel bad about like what I'm doing, because like I've seen these shows before and it's like, oh, I should take this time to watch new television or watch new movies or something, right? But
yeah,
I've been doing that. I'm just watching stuff that I've seen before or Twitch streams.
Twitch. I should get into Twitch again.
No, you should not.
What am I? I mean, I'm cooking, and the nice thing about cooking is that takes up time, and there's a tangible thing at the end of it. I have bread that is cooling. I've baked bread for the first time. I don't think it turned out great, but it turned out done and hopefully edible. So, you know, that is something.
I did pull out a cookbook.
Nice, nice. But yeah, I've been cooking. Not really watching much TV. I've like watched an episode of a couple different shows, and then after watching that episode, I'm like, all right, whatever. Watched a few movies. I finally got to the point where I've been able to like watch a movie all the way through, which I wasn't able to do for like the first couple days of this stay at home week. I would like start it and then finish, not like bounce off halfway through. And then watching so much, which I always are, again, I was doing it in the before times, but just so much YouTube all the time, particularly both cooking videos, because that was always just my favorite genre of YouTube stuff in the last year anyway, especially Bon Appetit YouTube channel. Shout out always and forever. I started watching a lot more roller coaster ride through videos, especially while I'm listening to podcasts, as just like it's a thing to watch. And just let wash over you. I finally broke down. I'd been telling myself I was going to avoid it, partially because I thought I was hopefully going to make an LA trip sometime this spring and go to Disneyland. But I finally broke down and watched a ride through video of the newest Star Wars ride at the Disneyland Star Wars Land, Rise of the Resistance. And it looks fucking incredible. It looks like the craziest, most impressive thing I've ever seen. And that's just on a like shitty YouTube video. So we'll see.
Yeah. I guess there's something else generally that I wanted to talk about of just kind of the general concept of loneliness. And really, I'm only like 2 weeks into my work from home self-quarantine life right now. It's kind of hard to tell, but I don't know. There's just like a general mood that I've been feeling of like starting to get that general cabin fever, starting to get that desire to go out and, I don't know, talk to people and to interact. And I don't know, there's something else, just kind of a morose sadness that I can't really describe. That's like not, I'm not like super sad and depressed or anything right now, but I can definitely tell that like the effect of time of being alone is starting to do something. And I don't really know what it is yet. Yeah, maybe come back in a month and I'll be shaved head or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and I know that is the scary part. Well, one of the several scary parts about all of this, because all of it is scary. But that, yeah, this is how we're feeling after a week, or 2 weeks in some cases, and like, oh boy, what's it going to be like when we get to like April? Or because I mean, I think we were talking about this beforehand, but like we both are of the opinion that, yeah, all these executive orders and stuff say that like, oh, it's only going to last for 15 days, or it's only going to last till like April 7th or what, I think that's the Illinois one. And like, it's probably not, I mean, we're probably going to be in this for at least a month or more. And yeah, who knows what that'll fucking be like. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what are the things that like, because I guess the pros and the cons are both very related to human nature, that like I guess you wouldn't say from the inception, because it's like we're fucking species that we're not in intelligent designers, I presume. Okay. I guess I don't want to speak for you, Alex Wade. But like the things that make humans human arguably are, on the one hand, we're social creatures and we need to interact with people, and like we are very, very well primed for that. On the other hand, we're also extremely, extremely adaptable in comparison to like other animals. Qualifying statements and all, neither of us are, you know, evolutionary biologists or whatever. But
us are like, I don't know, anteaters or dogs.
That's also true. That's also true. I cannot speak for my cat. But the like, we need to be around people, but we're also really adaptable, and so it'll be interesting to see like what's the stuff that we actually adapt to, and becomes just like a part of a new normal. I guess similar to what we were talking about earlier of like, do more offices and more companies go either all remote or like remote half the time and save money on electricity or whatever.
Yeah.
Similar sort of thing. That what I'm curious about, given the shit that I nerd out on, is like, how does this impact the movie industry? Of does this become more of a death knell for like independent theaters? Are they able to bounce back after being closed for months? Do they get bailed out? Do we move even more to a world where it's like movie theaters are for the big blockbusters, and then everything else becomes streaming or becomes video on demand? I'm less worried about, this is now just tangentially talking about like other sort of economic externalities of a months long shutdown. I'm worried individually about individual like theater as in live theater shows and restaurants and I'm worried on the individual level for all of those. I'm not necessarily worried in the aggregate, that like there will obviously still be people a need for restaurants after we're done with all of this. And there will, I feel the same way about live theater, that like the fact that live theater hasn't been killed out yet means that like it's an innate part of the social desires and artistic desires of at least the Western world. So I think there will be theater of some kind, but obviously I would imagine a lot of individual things are going to go out of business on both of those realms, and that's going to be fucking shitty.
I'm curious what more this is going to spawn and like what this is going to create. Like what businesses are obviously there are some things like, oh, video game companies are probably thriving right now or whatever. Yeah. Streaming services are thriving, whatever, right? But beyond that, of like, what new things will this create? What new forms of, I don't know. It's a new time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Zoom is doing really well. Their stock is up dramatically. And this might be the lifesaver, at least in the short term, for Blue Apron, which was doing really, really badly up until like now, because a lot of people are now turning to Blue Apron to get like groceries delivered to them so they can cook things while they stay indoors. So, hey, timing, I guess.
Maybe I should get
Blue Apron, sponsor us like you did all those other podcasts.
Yeah.
And we will give lukewarm takes about how, like, I guess you're good in the apocalypse.
yeah. I mean, honestly, maybe I should get Blue Apron again, get back into cooking. Honestly?
Yeah. You know what? I liked it. I did it for like 6 months and I am glad I don't do it anymore. But it was good at the time, especially as like a getting into the habit of cooking and learn and like literally practicing chopping things with a knife and practicing cooking things. And it's like, yeah, it's good for what it was.
Well, should I get Blue Apron or HelloFresh? Well, sorry, this is a different conversation for a different time, but
yeah, digression.
Blue Apron.
A fun thing to think about in the fact that we are making all these podcasts is that this could very easily, if the world does truly go post-apocalyptic, this could be one of those audio logs that the protagonist of a video game goes and picks up to learn more about the world and what was happening during the crises. They could be listening to the Adobe Club and learn about what was life and like in the before times and the during the pandemic times.
That'd be, I'm so excited for that. You know, hey guy, you can do it, okay? We believe in you. You can make it to the golden land place, okay? Anyway.
It's good. It's good. And I like that even that yeah, what would be the video game made about life after a coronavirus pandemic? I guess Death Stranding.
Yeah. But
do you think, are we going to be more Death Stranding, more BioShock, more insert other post-apocalyptic game that I can't think of off the top of my head?
Walking Dead or I don't know. I think it's just a lot of people are going to die. So if like, what, 99% of the world dies, it becomes less about oh no, we're going to catch the disease again. It's like, no, everyone is vaccinated by now or is, right? So it'd just be some, it'd be like a Thanos event, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I could watch Infinity War. That's on Disney Plus.
Hey.
All right. I'll make a note of that. In case you can't tell, it's been a week and we're fucking losing our minds. So please, we desperately desire human contact in any form. So use that as an opportunity to reach out to us at theawclub@gmail.com or on Twitter at theawclub. Both of those are theawclub. And Morgan, if you're listening to this, shout out. Thank you for listening. I don't know. Yeah. Want to be a guest on a future quarantine episode of the Adobe Club? I don't know. Hit me up. You can find us wherever you listen to the podcast that I'm sure you're listening to a lot of, because you are quarantined in your house and you need human contact in your ears. Whether that is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, you can find us there at the Adub Club, theadubclub, but you probably already know that because you're listening to this. You can also find us at our website, theadub.club. That's theadub.club. There you can find our topics guide, where you can go and listen to all of the various episodes that we recorded back before the world went into pandemic mode, about all sorts of fun things, including what does it mean to be an adult, including 90 seconds less than the runtime of The Rise of Skywalker talking about The Rise of Skywalker. You can listen to that if you would like, and you need to kill time. You can find all of that there on our website and at our topics guide. And I believe that is it, unless I'm forgetting something.
No, I think that's all. Adobe Club out.
Adobe Club out. Stay safe. Survive.
Don't die.
Pandemic. Please, we need listeners. Yeah, it's the we rebrand the A-Dub Club into the How You Doing cast.
That's good. So is that the question then that we're asking? How you doing?
I think that, honestly, yeah, why not?
Okay.
It's fine. Whatever. Honestly, it's the closest thing that I think either of us have experienced in our lives to the actual apocalypses that we've spent all of our lives reading about. Honestly, like Outback Steakhouse, no rules, just right. Whatever. it's fucking chaos. We'll just roll with that.
It's like there's the subreddit called like Casual Conversation or something. That's what our podcast has turned into now.
I mean, fair. Whatever. When you're here, your family.
Is that Applebee's?
Olive Garden, I think.
Oh, okay.